with a whisper.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
How important is it to teach kids about money? Research shows those who learned about money as kids are far more likely to secure pay raises as adults versus those without early money education.
80% paid their bills on time over the last year. They were more likely to save for the future. Over half looked up their credit scores. They also were more likely to set a budget and invest in the stock market.
Then, surprising survey results show that the air in office buildings may have more pollutants than cars and industry outdoors.
Buildings are releasing volatile chemicals to the outdoors in large amounts, and I think this is something that is kind of reframing how we're looking at sources of outdoor air pollution.
Those two stories and more are ahead on this edition of InfoTrack, right after this.
Progressive knows when you're on your boat, you're already on vacation. And vacation you forgets all your worries. Vacation you doesn't even keep track of time and knows that time is a meaningless construct designed to control us, man. But regular you knows you don't want to be too far out in the water after the sun goes down because vacation you doesn't know how to navigate in the dark yet. Vacation you and regular you really need to get on the same page. So bundle your boat with your home or auto policy and earn an automatic discount from Progressive. And spend the savings on the both of you. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states or situations.
Okay, raise your hand if you want to make your life a little bit easier. Great. Now raise your other hand if you like to be comfortable. Perfect. Now that you have both hands raised, imagine putting on your shoes. And that, folks, right there is your answer to an easier, more comfortable life. Go hands-free with Skechers Slip-ins. This is footwear you don't need your hands to put on. They can be raised in the air, and you can just step it and go. Why don't you experience what people can't stop talking about? Life-changing Skechers Slip-ins. Get your Slip-ins at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code DANCE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code DANCE. Enjoy.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
Recent research shows that you're more likely to ask for a raise if you learned about money as a kid. Here to explain this survey is Alex Gailey, data analyst at Bankrate.com. Alex, Bankrate's Financial Habits Survey showed a strong connection between financial education and pay negotiation success. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yes, so our latest Bankrate survey found that two-thirds of Americans who grew up with a strong financial education have successfully negotiated pay raises during their careers, compared to 39% of Americans who had little to no exposure to financial education growing up. We also found that those who were raised with a stronger financial upbringing were significantly more likely to say that over the past year, they set a budget, they paid their bills on time, they saved for the future, as well as other healthy financial habits.
Now, what happens if you missed out as a kid? Is it too late to still get some level of financial education?
It's never too late to start learning about money. A lot of Americans learn about money only when they are adults because it's not a curriculum that's standardized across the U.S. in schools. And so I want to emphasize that you can start learning at any age. And really, it comes down to dedicating time to financial literacy. Start with at least 1 hour a week, and you can ask your friends or your families for recommendations on podcasts, books, newsletters that focus on financial literacy. I also recommend checking out the financial literacy resource page on the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau's website. They have great tools and worksheets that break down topics that relate to money. We also have great resources at Bankrate.com and tools and calculators for anyone who wants to get started learning more about money.
Now, I'm just wondering, for these people who had a strong financial education, what kind of financial habits were they more likely to practice?
80% paid their bills on time over the last year. They were more likely to save for the future. Over half did that. Over half looked up their credit scores and tracked their spending. They also were more likely to set a budget. They were more likely to invest in the stock market. And roughly about 20% went and sought out professional advice from a financial advisor. And when you compare those percentages to those who were not raised with exposure to financial education as a child, you do see a 10 percentage point gap between the two groups for most of the financial habits we asked about. So while there are people who did not grow up with that exposure to financial literacy and are still implementing these habits over the last year, the percentages there are a lot lower compared to those who had more of that exposure growing up.
What gender differences were identified in financial education exposure and pay negotiation? The difference between men and women, or was there any difference?
There was a difference between men and women when it came to whether they got that exposure to financial education during childhood, and there was a difference in successful negotiation outcomes. Men are more likely to be categorized as having been raised with a strong financial education in our survey at 50% compared to 42% of women. In addition to that, men who were exposed to financial education as kids were more likely to have successfully negotiated pay raises during their careers. 70% of men had done so at least once every 5 to 10 years. That was the 70% mark for men, whereas it was at 62% for women who had successfully negotiated a pay raise at least once every 5 to 10 years. But you still see differences when you break down those statistics even further. Men were more likely to have negotiated a pay raise at least once every few years at 63%. And compared to women, that was at 56%. So you do see gaps there between men and women when it comes to those two categories, both financial literacy and successful salary negotiation.
Alex, why would you say financial education and money is often considered a taboo topic in households? And how can a parent break that cycle?
Well, it stems from what we deem our societal norms, and it stems from generations of being told that you can't talk about money, or that it's rude to talk about money, or it's not a conversation you should have at the dinner table. And I think what has happened is we've seen a transformation in the money conversations over the last decade or so, because of social media, a lot more people are willing to open up about their personal financial situations and talk about their credit card debt or how they're tackling budgeting. And there's just generally been a movement in the personal finance community to be more transparent about money and salary. And so a lot of that's being driven by what we normalize and what we don't normalize. You know, a lot of parents are hesitant even today to still talk about money with their kids because they grew up being told that you shouldn't talk about it. And it's really important for parents to break that generational silence and to have those conversations with their kids as early as possible and as often as possible. And it's okay that parents may not know everything about money. It's just important to create that space to be willing to talk about money and for it not to be taboo.
Our guest is Alex Gailey, a data analyst at Bankrate.com. We're talking about Bankrate's Financial Habits Survey. Alex, do you have any tips for parents on how they can make financial learning fun and interactive for kids?
Yes, it's going to look a little different for every family, but the financial experts that I spoke to who specialize on this topic, they said it's important to take real life examples and turn them into teachable moments as much as possible. It doesn't have to be a formal sit down conversation at the dinner table. It can just be you taking advantage of everyday life where you are interacting with money and you're involving your kid in those interactions and you're answering questions or letting them ask questions about different things you may be doing, whether that's just going on a shopping trip or a grocery run. Discuss the things that they want to buy versus what they can afford, and allow them even to purchase something with their own money if they have an allowance or if they're a little older and they've earned some money from a part-time job. And let them see how that money is no longer available once it's spent. And so letting them, you know, physically touch money when they're younger and showing that money can be physical. Then as they get older, you're going to want to explain how money has become digital in our world today and how you can have a bank account and how you can have a savings account and get into these more non-tangible concepts around money. One way that you can get really interactive with your kid, especially at a younger age, is to try having a give, save, spend piggy bank. It can be an effective tool to just start thinking about budgeting and saving and goal setting. And if your kid is getting money from the tooth fairy, or maybe it's a monthly allowance, talk to them about the best way to divide their funds. And you always want to attach financial goals to money instead of just telling them to save. But really, that's all to say that you want to keep it age appropriate. It's going to look different depending on how old your kid is. And it's just important to create that space to be willing to talk about money and to allow them to ask questions and be curious.
Alex Gailey, data analyst at Bankrate.com, telling us about Bankrate's Financial Habits Survey. Alex, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Next, serious air pollution inside office buildings.
That story, straight ahead.
You're listening to InfoTrack. More after this.
Progressive knows owning a home can be hard, but not always. Like when you're relaxing on your patio, enjoying a nice quiet evening. So quiet. Except for the sound of the neighbor's party. Which you said you'd go to if you weren't busy. And your quiet night on the patio, that's not exactly busy, is it? Maybe you should just stay inside. At least Progressive's Home Quote Explorer lets you easily compare rates, so shopping for insurance is the easiest part of owning a home. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and third-party insurers. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Have you tried hands-free Skechers Slip-ins yet? Because if you haven't, you're missing out on technology that changes how you think about shoes. First, these are not just regular slip-on shoes. They're not just a pair of loafers without laces. But what makes them different is the technology inside that lets you just step into them. There's a built-in hidden shoehorn that slides your foot in, so they look, feel, and wear just like a pair of shoes you're used to. Except you don't have to bend down, struggle to put them on, or touch them. Try them at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like by a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code DANCE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code DANCE. Enjoy!
Now, InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Your office building could be polluting the environment more than the cars driving past it. Volatile compounds, cleaning products, and other pollutants may impact the air you breathe. With this story, here's InfoTrack's Gina Tedesco. Gina?
Thanks, Chris. Joining us now is Brandon Boer, associate professor in the Lyles School of Civil and Construction Engineering at Purdue University. He led a research team's study concluding that we might want to start cleaning the air leaving our office buildings, even as we normally think of filtering outdoor air entering our buildings. Professor, can you characterize how concerned you are about the quality of air that leaves our office buildings?
So I'm becoming increasingly concerned about the discharge of volatile chemicals from buildings, whether they be office buildings or residential buildings, to the outdoor environment. I think this is kind of the opposite of the way we think about air pollution. We typically think about outdoor air pollutants entering buildings. For example, outdoor particulate matter that's transported indoors being a concern. But now I think our study and studies done by other groups are demonstrating that buildings are releasing volatile chemicals to the outdoors in large amounts. And I think this is something that is kind of reframing how we're looking at sources of outdoor air pollution.
And as you suggested, your study looked at VOC emissions, which stands for volatile organic compounds. First of all, give us examples of perhaps a substance like this and the product it might have come from.
Volatile organic compounds are ubiquitous both indoors and outdoors. They come from many different sources. One source that I think we're all familiar with are cleaning products. So cleaning products contain a wide array of VOCs, some of which are associated with the pleasant aromas that these cleaning products create indoors. Some are used to help remove like residues on surfaces in order to clean them. So basically, if you're cleaning a surface, you know, you're smelling these VOCs, some of them at least. I think that's one good example. One category of VOCs that's commonly associated with these scented cleaning products are called terpenes. Terpenes include many hundreds to thousands of different compounds, often found in nature, found in essential oils released from vegetation, so trees and flowers and so forth. And they're often added to these cleaning products in large amounts to create scents that we would associate with a clean environment, whether that may be pine or citrus or lavender. So that's one class of VOCs that's very important because these terpenes are very reactive with other gases that are floating around indoors and outdoors. So something definitely to be aware of.
Give us a perspective then. How might the VOCs coming from office buildings compare to the level of automobile emissions or their effect on us?
You know, when we think about outdoor air pollution and sources of VOCs outdoors, historically we have focused on the transportation sector, so emissions of VOCs from cars, trucks, and so forth, industrial activities, power plants. Vegetation also is an important source of VOCs. But buildings themselves, you know, really were not considered as an important source of outdoor air pollution, I think, until recently. So I think this has been kind of a new framing of outdoor air quality due to a number of different things. One, we have done a good job in reducing emissions from sources like traffic. So we have improved after-treatment technologies to scrub out some of these pollutants from vehicle exhaust. We have regulations in place to track and monitor emissions from car exhaust, similar to power plant emissions, and moving towards clean energy sources. But buildings themselves, you know, really have not received much attention. And there was a paper published a number of years ago on this concept of volatile chemical products. Volatile chemical products include, like I mentioned, cleaning products and many, many other things, solvents and paints and personal care products. They're incorporated into building materials and so forth. And these are becoming an emerging source of VOCs in urban environments, whether you're looking at the manufacture of these volatile chemical products, their use, or their disposal. But we know that a lot of volatile chemical products are used inside of buildings, and that may be your home, whether it's an apartment in a city, your house, an office building like what we studied, maybe an industrial manufacturing facility. So these volatile chemical products are being used indoors, and you know they contain large quantities of VOCs, and the air that is indoors does not always remain indoors. It will find its way outdoors to varying extents, and that's going to be dictated by ventilation and infiltration, exfiltration. Basically, how does the building breathe relative to the outdoors? So other studies and ours are finding that because we're using these volatile chemical products inside of buildings, that they're making their way outdoors, and that buildings as a source of VOCs is becoming comparatively more important nowadays when you're comparing it to other sources of VOCs, like I mentioned, transportation and so forth.
We're visiting with Brandon Bohr, associate professor at Purdue University. He led a research team's study concluding that urban office buildings emit volatile chemicals to the outdoors. The journal Cell Reports Sustainability published the study. Now, to drill down, in an urban area, Professor, when outside air is pumped into a building, that air can undergo changes, making the air more harmful?
It depends. So typically when outdoor air enters a building through a modern ventilation system, we can clean the air. Typically we use air filters to remove particulate matter from the air. And we do have air filters that have pretty good efficiency. So they remove these fine particles quite efficiently. So we can do a good job at kind of scrubbing out particulate matter that may be particles that come from car exhaust and maybe particles associated with wildfire smoke, things like that. But we really don't do a good job in treating the air in terms of other species, things like ozone. Ozone is a reactive molecule found outdoors. When it's brought into the indoor environment, it undergoes transformations. Ozone likes to react with a lot of different things. And we typically don't have air cleaning technologies in place to remove ozone. So one thing ozone does when it comes into an indoor environment is that it can react with VOCs released from, for example, personal care products, aromatherapy products, cleaning products, disinfectants. These products contain terpenes, which are reactive with ozone. You can end up forming very small nanoparticles. And we have found this in a number of our studies where ozone brought into the indoor space via a ventilation system can initiate these particle formation events. And you could actually create very high concentrations of nano-sized particulate matter within your home, within your office, due to these reactions between ozones and VOCs that are coming from all these different volatile chemical products that surround us.
Finally, if building managers or we homeowners want to test our air quality, can we obtain the necessary materials and/or equipment to do that?
To some extent, yes. And one area of our research has been looking into lower cost indoor air quality monitors. These are now widely available. You can place them in your bedroom, in your kitchen, or your office. They can range from less than $100 to a few hundred dollars. They're often able to stream the data to your phone in real time, providing you with an assessment of the air pollution inside of your indoor environment. They generally work well, but there's a number of limitations. They, for example, don't necessarily do a good job in detecting smaller particles that may be present in the air, particles associated with emissions from combustion sources like a gas stove or a candle. And their ability to detect different types of VOCs kind of varies quite a bit.
All very interesting information. Brandon Bohr, associate professor at Purdue University, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing your study.
Thank you.
For InfoTrack, I'm Gina Tedesco.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code DANCE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code DANCE. Enjoy!
Now, InfoTrack continues. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
For some military veterans, the transition back to civilian life can be stressful and difficult. But resources are available. With more, here's InfoTrack's Roy Mackey. Roy?
Thank you, Chris. Our guest is Dr. Christopher Loftus, National Director for the Veterans Administration and Department of Defense Mental Health Collaboration. So, Dr. Loftus, let's start with just a general picture of the sorts of mental health challenges that today's veterans face.
We're talking about multiple generations of veterans. Vietnam veterans might have a different set of issues than current veterans, but it is common for veterans to struggle with mental health and stress, both when they come back, but also over time. It comes out in different ways and different reasons. Oftentimes, mental health struggles come out after a life stressor, a financial stressor, and those are the moments when we really want to make sure that veterans have options for reaching out for help.
Many veterans are reluctant to seek help or to talk to anyone in their life about their struggles after the service. Why is that?
When you're in the military, you're certainly reinforced for discipline and soldiering up to make sure that you carry on and not admit to weakness. That should not be a fear once you're a veteran. We really want to dispel the stigma, and we also want to sort of de-emphasize that not all struggles mean that there's a mental health challenge going on. It may just mean that the person needs help with personal family relationships, financial struggles. There's a lot of reasons why stress can come out in ways that seem like mental health struggles, and we want people to feel empowered to seek out help however they feel comfortable doing so.
There are two campaigns the Veterans Administration has in motion to address some of these difficult issues. First, tell us about the one called The Moment When.
Yeah, The Moment When is the campaign we're releasing for Mental Health Awareness Month, and it features stories of veterans talking about the many positive turning points that come from reaching out and seeking help. The campaign provides vignettes and examples of veterans who talk about the struggles they went through and the moment when they realized that treatment was working, the moment when they realized that they were seeing a difference in their lives.
The second campaign is called Make the Connection. What is that one all about?
Yeah, really, maketheconnection.net is the site where the Moment When campaign is housed. MakeTheConnection.net's been around for a few years, and it has hundreds of stories from veterans talking about their struggles and, more importantly, talking about the successes they've had from reaching out. The site also includes lots of information to make mental health more understandable and easy to discuss and think about where to go for help. The site, MakeTheConnection.net, also includes a locator that once the veteran thinks through what they might be struggling with and where they might want to go for help, they can find local resources and services in their community.
Do you have any advice for friends or family members on maybe how they can start a connection with a veteran, or is that usually up to the vet to take the first step?
No, I don't think so. I think that it's important for family members to check in regularly and feel empowered to ask how they're doing and be open to the fact that it's an uncomfortable conversation. It may not go smoothly or to completion the first time you ask. It's important to emphasize the positive outcomes that come from seeking help. And it's important to encourage the veteran to reach out in whatever way they feel comfortable. I think that's why the site and the campaign are so important, is that there's hundreds of stories of veterans talking about how they came to that realization and the moment when they reached out for help and how they went about getting help.
And how about some advice for veterans themselves who are struggling but maybe thinking that they can deal with it on their own?
Yeah, don't think that you have to deal with it on your own. But, you know, there are self-help tools on MakeTheConnection.net and at the VA as well that maybe if the veteran wants to start there, that certainly would work. There's mobile apps, there's educational courses that the VA has to help with coping skills, relationship skills, all kinds of things that may be a place to start. And I think that once they start and they start connecting with veterans through the web, through other resources, they then may come to feel more comfortable with going the next step towards treatment or towards other options to live their life to their fullest.
Let's mention the online resources one more time where our listeners can learn more.
Yeah, MakeTheConnection.net is the site where hundreds of veterans have shared stories across military eras, across military branches, about the struggles that they went through, and more importantly, how they went about getting help and what treatment has meant for them.
Dr. Christopher Loftus, National Director for the Veterans Administration and Department of Defense Mental Health Collaboration. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
For InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
That wraps up another edition of InfoTrack. If you'd like to learn more about our guests or topics or listen to past shows, our web address is InfoTrackRadio.com. Thanks to this week's contributors, Roy Mackey and Gina Tedesco. Our executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm your host, Chris Whitting, inviting you to join us next week for another edition of InfoTrack.
80s, 90s, and more. 105.7.
This is 105.7 CFW.
Somebody Make someone's day extra special. Open up the Civic Media app. Find CFW, then send us your birthday and anniversary shout-outs. Mike will pass them along weekday mornings at 8:15. Sponsored by Lasker Jewelers. Mike McKay in the morning. 105.7 CFW.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear for tonight, a low in the low 30s. Increasing clouds for tomorrow, some showers possible in the afternoon and evening, high upper 50s. Still some rain around Monday morning. Clearing out for Monday afternoon, a high in the low 50s. It's 28 degrees right now.
CFW.
Come above your
90s and more.
105.7 CFW.
CFW.
105.7 CFW.
Standing there alone, the ship is waiting, all systems are go.
Are you sure? Control is not convinced, but the computer has the evidence. No need to abort. The countdown starts. Watching in a trance, the crew is certain, nothing left to chance. All is working, trying to relax. Up in the capsule, sent me up a drink. Jokes, Major Tom. The count goes on.
4, 3, 2, 1. Major.